Hello, and welcome to the Midwest Genealogy Center's Tell Me a Story program, an initiative to record America's family history in sound. Oral histories are one of the most personal and rewarding ways to preserve family stories. The Tell Me a Story sessions are 45-minute interviews between two people with the assistance of a trained facilitator. Participants will receive a compact disc with the full interview. A copy will be archived at the Midwest Genealogy Center and, with permission, later made available to the public. And now, another story.
All right, this is Jim Nunley, and I have the pleasure of interviewing a lot of great bowlers and people that have been associated with the bowling, especially African Americans, over the past 5 or 6 decades. And of course, I always try to start with at least a denominator thought. And one of the thoughts I had for today was the word wherewithal. And the word wherewithal is a mouthful. It's a British word, and it just means you got it. You got what it takes. And that kind of set off a series of thoughts that there was a great singer. His name was Brooke Benton. And Brooke Benton sang in the late 50s and the early 60s. But he teamed up with a lady, a very famous lady out of the 50s, Dinah Washington. And they teamed up and they had a song together, and it was called Baby, You Got What It Takes. And, you know, Brooke Benton was at the time what you may think of Usher is today, or what maybe Luther Vandross was. He had a smooth, just a voice that would just disarm you. But that always stuck with me. And Baby, You Got What It Takes. And that is the word wherewithal. You got what it takes. And J.C. Collins, if I have heard anybody's name as often as yours, everybody says J.C. Collins. What is it that you had to make people say you got what it takes? What is it?
Well, it was determination. I didn't like to be beat.
All right.
And if anybody said that I couldn't do it, I'm going to break my neck to prove that I could do it.
Okay. And
that happened on my job. You know, you get on the job and they claim you can't do it.
All right.
I didn't believe that. Right. I'm going to do it. If it kills me, I'm going to show you that I can do it. And I succeeded in my workplace, and I like to think that I succeeded in the athletic field.
All right, and we're going to get to that in a minute, yeah. But let's go back. And where did J.C. Collins come from?
Well, he was born in 1923 in a little town called Eufaula, Oklahoma.
Eufaula, Oklahoma.
And I had illness, sickness in my legs. So I was brought to Kansas City when I was 2 weeks old to the hospital. You didn't have any hospitals down there in Eufaula. So my parents brought me to Kansas City to work on my leg. It was what they called in those days infantile paralysis.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, I mean,
and you kind of walk a little limpy right now. Is that because of that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Now tell me what they tell you this disease was.
Well, what it was, one leg was a little smaller and a little shorter than the other. It never did have a medical name for it. But I learned to live with it. It didn't stop me from participating in sports, you know.
Okay.
I ran track. I played football, basketball, bowl, roller skate, dance.
All right now.
It didn't stop me from doing anything.
So how did your parents communicate to you that you got something wrong with you? I mean, did they make it a big deal, or did they tell you to go ahead?
Well, I was a baby when all this happened.
Okay.
You know,
but as you're growing up?
No, nobody just said anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just tried to live a normal life. I didn't know. I did limp a little bit, you know, but it didn't stop me from, like I said, it didn't stop me from participating in sports. So it wasn't a handicap to me.
Right.
It's just something I learned to live with.
All right, very good. So you came here medical reason. Was that the main reason they came here to?
Well, I guess.
Because of you? Okay.
Well, I guess it was.
And you got brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I had a sister.
Okay.
But like I said, it's been so doggone long ago. I'm no baby now. You know, heck, we all talking about almost 90 years ago.
I hear you now. We're going to get to that. So well, you're kind of depression. You're born during the depression.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. What was that like coming to Kansas City, as far as you can tell?
Well, you had to go to the store with, maybe if you had 50 cents, you could go to the store and get a nickel worth of lard, a nickel worth of butter, a nickel worth of sugar.
All right.
You could nickel though.
Nickel?
Nickel and dime, you know. And the stores had penny candy bars, and being thuggish, you know, we wore knickers in those days, you know, the pants that tuck in at the knee with socks.
Yeah.
And we would cut holes in our pockets. Being kiddish, you know, we'd cut holes in our pocket, go to the tub and get the little penny candy bars that were just about bigger than nickel candy bar now. Oh, we'd ram them in our pocket, and they'd go down to our knees. We'd get our goodies.
Were you a thug?
Well, a little bit of thugging. You know, something the kids would do. That was, we didn't fight, or we didn't have guns, but we got the candy man. Man come by with his truck, and he'd catch it too.
All right, great.
You know, they had their horse and buggies, and park it on the street and run up to the house with some cakes, and oh boy, we get some cupcakes.
Excuse me now. So what time?
We nickel and dime. We didn't rob anybody with any pistols or anything. But
you would
the food.
If it landed in your hand, you take it out. All right, we're talking about, this is late 30s.
Oh yeah, this is Late 30s. Yes.
So
I was born in 23, so this had to be around 31 or 32, you know, something like that. 7, 8, 9 years old.
All right, so what was it like being black in the Depression? I mean, in your mind?
Well, the first place, 27th Street was south. Okay. You didn't hardly get past 27th Street. And they had Fairland Park. We went to Fairland Park once a year.
I see. And that was it.
Hmm?
You couldn't go any other time?
No, no. Oh, you could go, but you wouldn't get in.
All right.
and the Swole Park, we had one shelter house. They called Watermelon Hill, you know. So I guess, I don't know if you know anything about Watermelon Hill, but that was the shelter house. No, I don't know what they called it. And I don't know where number one or number two, anyhow, was Watermelon Hill. And I remember we would go there. The church would have big picnics and big dinners. And you're talking about some eating. Those sisters would cook. You go to church dinner now, they going to open up can this and can that. Those sisters cooked.
I hear you. Well, this is a pleasure. And I can tell you right now, the reason I'm glad we're talking is because almost everybody has mentioned your name in this. They say J.C. Collins. Yeah. Now they don't say whatever the name is, but you got to tell me now, what does J.C. stand for?
Well, my name is John. I didn't start recognize the word John till I started working. It was on my paycheck. All I know was J.C. Collins. But when I started working, it was John Collins. So that's where I signed my name on the paycheck, John Collins. I didn't like to be called John.
Okay, but that was your given name?
That was my given name.
And who gave you that name?
Well, that my father did. His name, he was John Collins, too. I was John Collins, Jr.
Oh, okay. So where did the J.C. come in?
Well, that was the initial. John Collins, J.C.
I know, but who started calling you?
I don't remember.
You don't remember?
But no, did you? All I know was J.C. Everybody called me J.C. until I got to working, and it was John Collins. But you got to give your full name, John Collins.
Okay, so when did you go to work?
Started at Army Corps in 1943. Okay. Worked 39 years there.
All right, so this is right in the middle of World War II.
Hmm?
This is in the middle of World War II.
This was right in the middle.
How did you get out of going to the war?
Well, Army Corps Sheffield got a war contract. And then you got exemption on your job. You got exemption from going to the war. Of course, I went to Fort Riley up there to get examined on the draft, but my eyes kept me out. You know, I got a lazy eye.
Okay.
At 2100 visually, throw the, you know, they got a big chart that they throw up there and tell you to do this.
Yes.
I couldn't see it. So everybody was breaking out laughing. What is that, John? What is what? So I could see good out of, you know, this. I mean, this way I could see good, but if you cover this one up, I couldn't see anything. And they laughed. So the doctor, he threw that light up there and he said, son, you got called a lazy eye. I had 2100 vision in that eye. And that's what one of the things that kept me from going to the Army. Was that eye, and the other one was the exemption that Sheffield or Army Corps still had for the war effort.
Okay, so why did they get an exemption? Your steel company, this is why did you get the exemption? Why did the
well, from the job. See, if we had a war contract, we were making things
that was needed
for the war, you know, and so got an exemption on my job.
Okay. All right, now, so at that time they must not have had any, because you've got, is your leg bothering you at all?
No, it doesn't
bother you at all.
Well, except when old arthritis hits now, because I got arthritis. Heck, I couldn't walk when I was 32 years old. I had to crawl.
Okay, and that was a direct result of your
leg? I don't know, but anyhow, it hit me. My feet swole up. I had to wear a size 13 tennis shoe, and one of my bowling buddies, He would tease me, say, call me Hoppy. Say, Hoppy, you're the only one I know that if you saw a cigarette paper, you would walk around it. You wouldn't step on it. My feet were in bad shape.
All right, so you got a lazy eye and you got a bad leg.
Bad is okay. Old Arthur. Talk to you.
I hear you. All right, now before we get to the arthritis, and you're 88 now,
yeah,
is that 80, right?
88
now, okay. Now, before we get to that, let's go back into, you talked about your bowling buddies. Okay, now, how'd you get into this bowling?
Well, I was playing ball with a buddy. We played ball on the Purcell over there, and he said, let's go bowl. Bowl? What is that? It was about a block from old Monard Bowl there between 18th and 19th on Vine. And we played ball on the sale there, you know, down 17th Street. So I went up there, picked up me a bowling ball. I remember the first game I bowled, it was a hot 56. But I looked good doing it. I had all kind of form. Everything I threw was going in the gutter. He laughed. So I got interested in bowling, so I started going back every day.
Okay. All right. Were you good at it? I mean, that 56 doesn't sound like it.
Well, I would bowl myself. If I bowl 80 today, I want to bowl 90 the next time. Okay. If I bowl 90, I want to bowl 100.
Okay. So that determination is coming
in. I had a game with myself, you know.
Okay. Oh.
And got in the league, and, you know, the guys used to jackpot. It was nickel and dime. That was big money back in those days. You win $5, that was a whole bunch of money.
I hear you now.
So what I did, I would get in a jackpot, and I got tired of losing.
Ooh.
So pretty soon I started winning a game or two. And it got to be fun then, so I started practicing every day. I lived in the bowling alley.
Okay. And how many hours did you spend practicing?
Seven or eight hours.
So you were really serious about it.
Oh, heck, you bowled 10 or 12 games in a row then.
I hear you.
But like I said, you bowl, I got competitive when I bowled against somebody that could beat me.
Okay.
It wasn't point, no point in going to practice with somebody bowling bad as you. So you're not going
to
learn.
So you wanted to beat the best.
That's the only way you're going to learn. That's the way I learned to bowl, is bowling somebody that was better than me.
Okay, that's a good principle.
If somebody's going to roll 180, I want to roll 100, 190.
Yeah, we talked to Miss Bryant. She was talking about coaching. Uh-huh. Did you get a lot of coaching along the way? You were all self-taught.
Everything that I learned about bowling, It was me. We didn't have any coaches back in those days.
I see. But would you have accepted some coaching? Would you have accepted some coaching?
Oh, yeah. I asked a few questions about certain things, and some things will come natural to it. Now, like our bowling alley was dry.
Okay.
And I learned a lot of the guys threw a spinning ball.
Mm-hmm.
I threw a full roller. It would hook on those dry alleys. But see, where I get the guys, if they ever got the 10-pin, they're going to miss it.
But you would learn that.
Because their little hook is going to get down there and hook right up on it. And I figured it out. All you got to do is speed it up. So I had a famous saying, speed it up and pick it up.
All right.
But nobody would throw hard at that 10-pin. It would get right down there and boom, going to hook. Because they didn't have any speed.
Right.
Figured, look, all you got to do is speed it up.
All right.
Throw a little bit harder, get it down there before it started hooking.
Okay, so where are you now? What bowling alley are you bowling at?
Well, our last bowling alley I bowled at was Premier Bowl.
Okay, but before Premier, where were you? Where did you make this name for yourself that everybody wanted
Had to be Munard Bowl and Melody Lane.
Okay. So tell me about Melody Lane. What was it like?
Melody Lane was our first new alley. Because Munard Bowl was the old alley, and the pins we shot at were rejects from all the other bowling alleys. You know, they go, you know, and we shot at them. You had some 4-4s and 3-2s and all mixed in there, and you didn't beat opponent at Melody Lane. Melody Lane beat him. I mean, Rhythm Lane beat him. Well, the same with Melody, too.
Yeah.
You come to Melody Lane, you didn't have to worry about beating nobody.
The
alley's going to take care of them. But we had, it was certain alleys in Melody Lane I didn't like to bowl on.
All right. Did you ever bowl at the Plaza?
Oh, no. I think Ward Park, where I bowled at Ward Park. That's where I got my first 298 game at Ward Parkway, and we had a little, you remember that little tournament you had, Ronald, that Mocan deal?
Yeah, so did you bowl good? Were these good lanes at Ward Parkway?
Oh, yeah.
They were good lanes.
They were better than what we bowled on.
Melody lanes, okay. So you bowled 298 on these good lanes.
Yeah, on the good lanes.
All right. So you had to bowl, 11 strikes, and then your last was 8-10?
Yeah,
what were you thinking when you got up to that last time and you were that close to 300?
It was just fun. I wasn't worried about rolling old 300, just threw the ball.
Okay, did you remember what 2 pins you left?
No. Probably the 4-7.
4-7?
A little high in the pocket. That's what it is. You know, speed.
Like
no speed, you know.
They call it a baby split today, don't they?
Huh?
They call it a baby
split. No, that's the 2 on the end over there.
The 2 on the end.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Back row.
Right.
It's probably the speed. All the rest of them were hitting the pocket good. This one got on there and got a little high. You left the 4-7. That's what happened when you hit that pocket high, you're going to leave the 4-7.
Right,
if you hit it late, you're going to leave the 10-pin.
I got it. You need to be in that. We're going to have on Saturday a bowling instruction thing.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, let me before we get too far deep into the bowling, I want to go back to Armco Steel. Now, what was your job at Armco Steel?
Well, I started out on the loading dock.
What does that mean?
I mean, the nails and fence and barbed wire, you went down to the warehouse and load them on a 4-wheel cart and push them up to the dock and unload them on the truck to
this
be shipped out.
This is steel.
Huh?
This is steel.
Yeah, nails and fence and barbed wire, all iron.
Okay.
But I end up on a heating job, you know, that's furnace. You got to operate those dials on that furnace till you heat that, get that steel red hot so you can make stuff out of it.
Right.
That's how I retired on that job.
So you're operating the furnace, essentially,
yeah.
Okay? Now, was that a tough job?
Well, it was a complicated job. You had to adjust all those little dials so you could get that heat real just right. The steel had to be 2,500 degrees Fahrenheit. It had to be red hot, so when you run it through those machines, it would mash out.
Okay. All right.
So and each bar steel that came out came under an eye, and that eye, the needle would come out and show you how hot it was.
Okay.
And I got where I could make that line come straight down.
To 2,500.
I mean, you got a furnace full of steel, and they all come out with the same heat on them. So if they come out cold, they're going to wreck the mill. You know what I'm saying?
All right now.
So
this is a tough job.
It was complicated. You had a big panel up there, and you had all kind of dials for temperature of the heat, and you got to have air, and you got to be able to cut the heat when they're going to build it. When steel would come out the door, and they had to hook it up with the crane, you got a dial you got to cut me so the heat wouldn't ray out the door while they hooking it up. So it was complicated. You had about 50 different control dials of it you had to operate.
All right. So you're an individualist. Are you an individualist? You mean you just kind of stay to yourself? I mean, remember I asked you about the coaching, and you said you would ask a few questions, but you did it on your own.
Yeah.
Was this job a job you did with others, or this a job you did by yourself?
You wasn't going to get any help.
Okay. All right. All right. So what's developing here is that J.C. Collins is what they call a rugged individualist. Is that right?
You
could say it. Okay. Now, I could say it. Yeah, I'm getting it right here. Okay. Now, as this individualist, I mean, are you kind of hard to get along with?
I got my opinion.
You got your opinion.
Yeah, I got my opinion.
All right, now let me tell you what they've said about you. Well, I've interviewed 8 people, and everybody said that when it came to bowling, that you didn't take no stuff. You would get on them right there if they missed something. Now tell me about that. Come on.
You get around bowl, and they miss, and one of the famous saying, that's all right.
It ain't all right.
It wasn't all right on our door. No. If you've been around our team when we were bowling, you think we're going to fight each other.
But they said you were leading it.
Yeah, you think we're going to, you do something wrong, that's all right. We get an earful.
And who would be giving that earful?
Everybody.
Okay. All right. So it was kind
straighten up. Let's go. Don't miss the 10 pin. Oh, that's all right. Yeah. Not when you lose by 9 pins in the 10th frame. You can go back to that miss.
That's right. If you got that, you would have been winner.
All of it counts.
But they said you'd get in their face when they miss something. Tell me about that. How old are you when you're doing this?
Huh?
How old are you when you're doing this, when you're really getting into people's faces?
Well, I guess I'm in my 50s, 40s,
50s, 40s, 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 50s. Huh? All right, when you do it right there on the bowling lanes? Yeah, is that right?
We get a little loud.
You get a little loud. You're being a little modest because everybody has talked about that.
We get a little, what? It pay. We win. We did a whole bunch of winning, though.
You ain't afraid to get into somebody's face, right? Does that make you a good bowler?
Huh?
Does that make you a good bowler?
When it makes you determined. It makes you don't want to lose.
Okay.
See, I remember the first black that won a national bowling tournament. Our manager invited him to Kansas City for a match game. And I was lucky enough to...
What year are we talking about?
Oh, I don't know. Jay, you know, it's back in the 60s, wasn't it, Ronald? When Jay Wilbur Sims out of Chicago, he won the Pro Bowling tournament down at the Municipal Auditorium. So Long invited him to Kansas City for an exhibition game.
Okay.
And I was lucky enough to get the draw to bowl him. And what killed me was Long would come to me and said, Jay, we ain't going to get a loser but
$15. We ain't going to get a loser but $15.
Okay. I beat him. I think he beat me the first game. The second game, I beat him. I think we were about two or three pins different in the score. And he started off the third game. He got a spare and a double. And when he got that double, I heard somebody say, uh-oh, here you go. I got a spare and a spare. And the next frame, I got a four-baker. And that's how I ended up. I ended up beating him on total pins. And back in those days, I think I rolled 600. Back in those days, 600 is like 700
huge.
Now.
Yeah,
you know,
huge,
you,
yeah.
You, when you roll a 600 then, you were bowling.
That's
it's not
the
like these jackrabbit pins they got now. Everybody can roll 270.
Yeah.
In those days, you rolled 200, you could bowl.
And then you were bowling
so
200?
You earned it.
All right.
So it's like to me, it's like all these guys running these 500-yard dash on this tartan track.
Mm-hmm.
Back in Jesse Owens' day, they wouldn't have ran it on that cinder track.
That's right. That's
the
right.
Pole vaulter, they sprang on that pole and get shot up over 19
right.
feet. Back when they had bamboo poles, they wasn't going to pole vault no 19 feet.
So we're back to the lanes now.
Yeah, no.
So the lanes were... Tell me, describe these lanes.
The lanes and the pins.
Okay.
We shot in some wore-out pins. They were kind of heavy. Now they got 3-2s out there. They look like ping-pong balls. You hit them, everything is flying. You had to shoot a cannon at those pins back there when I started bowling.
You had to hit it right?
Ooh.
All right, so what's your main stuff? I mean, you know, bowling is a stylish game. What did you have that, now remember we said, Brooke Benton said, maybe you got what it takes. What is it you had?
Well, I didn't have many open frames.
Okay, but what did you have that others didn't have, that wanted them, that, I mean, what was special about you?
Well, not lacking to lose.
Okay.
That's the only thing I can think about.
Okay, but you had to have something in order not to lose. So, like, I mean, was it the way you put the ball down? Was it in your approach? Was it in your release? I mean, where was it?
Well, bowling is a game you got to study. You just don't up and throw the ball. You got to know what you're doing.
Right.
See, and the thing, me, I was a spot bowler. If I hit my spot, I can start running across three lanes because I know where it's going to end up. It's going to end up in that pocket if I hit my spot.
And where was that spot?
Huh?
Where was it?
My spot, it was second error about 3 feet on the final. I always figured if you could cover those pins up down there with a sheet, it wouldn't bother my game because I don't look at no pins.
You look at the spot.
My spot is about 3 or 4 feet over the foul line.
Okay, feet meaning those little boards?
Well, they got arrows out there.
Yes.
My spot is usually the second arrow.
Okay.
And hit that in the right direction. Now, it's got to be in the right. You can't hit it going this way. You got to hit it. It's a down and in shot. And if I hit it, I can start running and end up sliding two alleys over when the ball hit the pocket.
All right. So you knew it was going
so
in
most
there.
Most of the time, it's going to hit the pocket. Mm-hmm. You look like a dummy sliding in there and getting 7 pins.
So this is so funny.
You can put a show on now. You can put a show on now. I mean, you can throw that ball and start running and get 7. You look like a fool over there.
And some of them do, don't they?
I've seen a whole bunch of them throw it and start hooting and hollering. And you got to know what you're doing. You got to know the conditions of the alley.
All right. So you said determination. You're a determined man.
Determined,
is that what it is?
Yeah.
And so you were determined. Now, you mentioned back that you wanted to beat some of the good bowlers.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Now, over time, as we move toward the end of this, everybody we've talked to always said they wanted to beat J.C. Collins.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Oh, yeah, well.
Did you know that you had something special and therefore people wanted to beat you? Did you know it?
Yeah, I know that happened later on in the senior league. Guy, well, they want to bet me now. Yeah, heck, I'm 900 years old. Where were you at 10 years ago?
When you had it.
Yeah. See, I would bet against me now myself. Can't hardly walk. Everybody wants to bet me.
Tell me about your heyday, though. Tell me when you was really hot.
In my day, I could give 20, 25 pins a game.
So you could give that as a handicap.
Yeah, you know.
And still beat him.
Well, my game was, I'm going to mark 10 frames. The guy bowled, he's going to miss two times. I got a double, he's beat. See, I got my pins right there.
Okay.
So it only open frame I was going to have was going to be a split, a big split. Now, I'm get those spares. And 10 pin was my easiest pin. Most of the bowls, they got the 10 pin throwing those old curves. They're not going to pick it up.
How'd you get it? How'd you get the 10 pin? How did you make the 10 pin? What would you give advice to people getting the 10 pin?
Well, most of the time you had to speed it up.
Okay.
Because you throwing a hook down there, you're going to get right down there and they're going
to hook out.
Right up under the pin. Right. You know, throwing it hard enough. And then I could flatten mine out, though. I could flatten it out.
So which side of the lane did you stand on to hit the pin, 10 pin?
On the left side.
You stand all the way to the left.
When I first started, I thought I was throwing a straight ball.
Okay.
And then started a full roller. Full roller is almost like a straight ball. It's got some revolutions, but it's a full roller. It's going to roll down the middle of the track. Those spinners run up under the bottom of the track.
Okay.
Now, I never could do that.
But you hit the 10 pin from the left side of the lane, and you would bowl over what I say. When you're hitting the 10 pin that's down here in the corner, you stand over here on the left side.
You cross the alley.
Cross the alley. Yeah. And what would be your spot?
Well, you got to figure, my spot was about 12 feet down the alley to make sure the ball is in the center of the alley going the right angle.
Okay. So it wasn't
if you can get here and throw it over, you're going to throw behind. If you get here, you got to make sure it's rolling right in the middle of the alley.
Okay. Could you teach bowling today? Would you be a good teacher?
I don't know. I don't have enough patience. I mean, I'm kind of impatient.
Okay. Does that, you know, but you got so much to offer.
Huh?
I say you got so much to offer.
Mm-hmm. I have helped one lady, one pretty good. Well, I do a lot of, hey, what's the matter? I might call you a dummy. Can't you see that? I mean, well, like I said, it might look simple to me, you know, but I have trouble speaking the right words, you know.
Okay, you're kind of a direct
I kind of shame you into doing something. Come on, let's go.
All right, you said you bowled in the Premier League, and that's a senior league. Tell me about that.
Well, the first year.
And this is current, right?
No, I haven't bowled in a couple of years. We won first place two out of the first 3 years that I came back.
Okay.
And I remember the best game we bowled, we were 100 pins down in the 10th and won the game.
Uh-oh. So that means you struck out. Everybody struck
out. Well, everybody was on strikes in the 8th and 9th and turkeyed out in the 10th. We picked up 100 pins in one frame.
All right. This is this is in the senior league?
Yeah, it was senior league.
Okay, who were those people?
Well, it was Wilma and Jones.
Jones.
You know Wilma, don't you? Wilma and Jones. The girl that bowled with the wrong foot now? What's her name? She bowled on the wrong foot.
Rosetta.
Oh yeah, Rosetta.
Yeah.
Me, Rosetta, Wilma Jones, and what's Wilma's name? Joe?
Fred.
Okay. So y'all was the one, and you got 100 pins in one frame.
We were down 100 going into the 10th frame.
How you feel about women bowlers?
Huh?
How you feel about women bowlers?
women can bowl now. Not when they first started out, everybody was throwing a backup ball. These women can roll now.
They can get
it. Watch those pro bowlers. One gal shot the best of those men down. They had a mess game out there. She shot them out of, shot them clear out of there. They throw some stuff now.
All right, this is a tough question. Has a woman ever beat you?
Hmm?
Has a woman ever beat you in bowling?
Not head up.
Not head up.
No.
Have you ever thought of a woman that might have beat you heads up?
Well, Liz.
Liz Trice?
Liz in her day.
Liz Trice, she could have beat you?
Oh, yeah. And what's the girl name with the Vernon School I was telling you about? Becky, what's her name?
Deborah Nichols. Deborah Nichols.
Yeah.
She could have beat you.
That big hook. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. What's her name?
Deborah.
Yeah.
Okay. She could have beat you.
She had a good ball.
Okay. All right. Let's wrap this up. This has been a pleasure talking to you. Yeah. And I'm glad you get a chance and to talk about this. And I want to tell you what we're trying to do. We're trying to go back and find all of these old bowlers and so they can tell their story. And
not too many of us left.
That's right. So tell me, what's the most important thing that bowling has done for you or done to you in these years? You're 88 years old now. You've started out with a kind of a deformity in your leg. You got a lazy eye. You worked at Armco Steel. Yeah. You got a war exemption. Yeah. And you started bowling at Melody Lanes. Yeah. Bad conditions and things.
Rhythm Lanes.
Rhythm Lanes.
It's Melody Lanes. I get them mixed up.
And you're growing up and you're getting this reputation. Yeah. Everybody wants to beat you. With all this rich history in your head, what would you say everybody now about J.C. Collins?
Well, he didn't like to lose.
He didn't like to lose. Okay. And is that still in you?
Is
that still in you? Are you tough to get along with?
Huh?
Are you tough to get along with?
Oh, no. Might be a sound a little grouchy, but I'm a teddy bear in between.
All right. And what a way to end this interview. Huh? Let's give J.C. a nice hand.
I don't think I'm